Into the Blender, episode 40. Listening to End of the Blender with your hosts, Chooch and Viv.
You can hear us each week discussing topics ranging from co-parenting a blended family to gaming to technology news.
And whatever else catches our fancy this week.
Greetings, podcast land. This is Juge.
And this is Viv. Hello, land. Greetings,
podcast Earth. Land.
Podcast land. Okay. There was something that I left out on the last episode. Two things. Okay. One thing, when we talked about the NaNoWriMo, I want to talk about this up front. One of the things that I didn't mention, because my notes were not thorough, was my friend Cindy. Trillion1117 on Twitter. I can't remember how far into the month started doing these word sprints.
Oh, yeah.
And I was kind of on the fence at that point about whether or not I was going to make it. I was having the health problems flare up and concentration problems and didn't have any juice for the writing and all that stuff. And so she started doing these little word sprints, and I think they were like 30 minutes. Some were, you know, shorter, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever she had time to carve out. She would say, okay, starting word sprint in 5 minutes, who's in? And if I was able to, I would join in, and I was able to pretty much sprint my way through the rest of the month. And I wouldn't have done that. I don't think it would have occurred to me to have done it in that way. Kind of like, okay, sit down, do nothing else, but just write. And only in 30 minute increments, which I was able to handle any longer than that. If I sat down to write a longer period, I would get like the brain fog and stuff like that. I was having trouble focusing and concentrating, but the little sprints went really fast for me. So I was able to really crank up my word counts. And not only that, but she was very vocal. She was very vocular. On her belief that I could do it, which of course you get a lot of help and stuff like that, but she was also, we were DMing each other, and so I really wanted to say thank you to Cindy, because that was that made a bigger impact on me than what I expected. I thought, oh well, I'll try and do a sprint, maybe I'll get a couple more words, you know, I still won't win, but I'll get a little closer. And I just literally sprinted to the win. So I did want to thank her for that.
You were rocking this. Yeah. I did a couple of them, and then you had started some.
Oh yeah,
on Twitter, and all right, here we go. Who's with me? And Nathan Lowell jumped in, and a few other people jumped in, and and really rocked it. There's a program that you might like. Oh, it's only on the Mac. I think it's on Mac, Windows, everything. Anyways, I think if I remember right, it's called Write or Die. And it's, you have a word goal, and you have a time goal, and you punch them in and hit go, and it has a big blank screen, and you just start writing. And if you're falling behind the pace, it flashes and it does stuff to get your attention.
That just might freak me out too much.
And it makes you go, go, go.
I might just pass out from the stress. maybe not. Oh, and the other thing, I was talking to my best friend. Her two daughters did NaNo for the second year in a row, and they also won for the second year in a row. And I was talking to her, and we were talking about whether or not the editing, the revisions had begun yet. And I had to answer no, which I was a little embarrassed about. So I think I'm actually gonna start editing so that it's ready for you to view. So, yeah, I've got...
I still haven't finished writing.
I know.
And my writing mostly fell off, even though I knew I wasn't going to finish NaNo. And even though, so I wasn't worried about getting the 50,000,
right?
But I was still writing.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of fell off again after the month. And so, and I've done a little writing here and there.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to put a, I think I'm going to put a little ticker on my webpage.
I think you should.
On my site. So it has a little tracker. So a lot like how you can look at the nano tracker and see where you're at.
Accountability.
Mm-hmm.
I can look at it and see that you haven't written and start nagging you because you love when I nag you. Nothing motivates you more. Y'all, he's like a rebellious teen, I swear. Yeah, I shouldn't say anything. I should tell him not to write. Ah, reverse psychology for the win. But yeah, so I need to start on that because I have decided that I'm going to go ahead and take advantage of the, I think it's CreateSpace that's giving NaNoWriMo winners a code to get a free printed copy of like a book, a soft paperback book of there. Yeah. So I'm going to revise it. I'm going to clean it up and neaten things up so you can read it. And I'll get it printed. What the heck? I'll have one copy that I'll never let anybody read.
Very cool.
And then the other thing that I meant to mention last time, but failed, was our friends Nobilis and his wife, Dee, when they, you know, knew that I've been going through these health problems and they knew that I was bummed and I was whiny and emo and all that stuff like that. We had had a lot of rain. I want to say it was like the middle of November or something like that. We'd had a lot of rain and I had tweeted something about having a fairy ring in the backyard because we had so many toadstools, these huge toadstools. Like, bigger than we've ever had before, spring up in the backyard in this one little marshy kind of area. And he made a comment at the time. Well, that weekend, they got out their crafting supplies, and unbeknownst to me, they did, like, acetate paper kind of stuff, kind of like shrinking ink paper. They hand-traced and hand-colored in a beautiful fashion a bunch of pixies, a bunch of little fairies in different action poses. And then, you know, got with Chooch and told him. They met up for lunch one day and did the handoff. So Chooch puts him in the backyard. Well, all I know is Chooch is standing at the back door kind of looking at me to look outside and one morning before he left for work. And I was just like cranky and dizzy and like, oh, what? And so he just kept looking at me and then looking out in the backyard like, look, dummy. So I finally looked out there and I was really excited because it looked like he had taken two of the fairies that he had gotten me before, those little pewter ones, and put them out there so it looked like fairies on the toadstools. And when I got closer, I realized, oh my God, that's not those. What are those? You know, so I get out there and I see these adorable two little pixies posed on these toadstools. And it was so cute, y'all. I was just like, I got so emotional. He was telling me the story about how Nobilis and Dee had done it. And I was just like, oh my God. And I was just all teary eyed and all that stuff. And then he goes and gets the camera to take pictures of them. And then he kind of steps back and looks at me and looks over to the side and looks at me and looks over to the side. So I'm like, what? I'm like looking at them going, they're so cute. And so I look over and there's two more. And then there's two more. And then there's more. And so they had done so many of them and they were so cute. And Chooch had put them in different areas of the yard so I'd be able to find them. And there was one that in the car that I didn't find right away. They had punched a hole in one so that it could be hung from the rearview mirror.
Like it was flying.
I know, and it's so cute. And I was just like sitting in the car with my little spaced out brain. And I was like, oh, look at that. Did you put a hole in one? I don't remember that one. He said, no, they did it just to hang in there. So that, I mean, y'all, I was just, when I found out that the time, because when you look at them, you can see they put a lot of time into them. And they are so cute. Different styles of pixies. And there's one that's really badass looking. You know, she looks like a warrior pixie. And then there's the cute little, almost like Tinkerbell style. And I mean, just a wide variety of them. And they're so cute. I just was so touched. I was crying. I was giggling. I mean, it just, oof, it was amazing. I just felt so loved that day. And I just was blown away. And so just a big public glomp. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Nobilis and Dee, because I mean, they're gorgeous. Still trying to find the best way because I've got the one in the car. I've left it there because it goes with me everywhere. I'm trying to find the best way to display them because, you know, I've got fairies all over the house. And, mm-hmm. and Nobilis did give me some suggestions. I'm just trying to figure out what I want to do. Because they're so cute. I don't want to just... I mean, I've got them sitting on the curio shelf, but you can't really see them.
Yeah.
The way I... I mean, they're just laying there because I don't want anything to happen to them. So I need to find a way to display them because they're so cute. It almost makes me want to go get a bunch of houseplants and just tuck them in the houseplants.
Yeah, there you go.
But then I got to keep the plants alive and... Oh... Artificial plants, right? Because I am not trying to keep anything alive right now except us and the dog. But they're just so sweet, and it was so thoughtful, and I'm just so grateful. Made me feel very loved.
Very cool.
Yeah.
On the last episode, we had alluded to New Year's resolutions.
Uh-huh.
And starting 2010, starting a new decade.
Yes.
Some people argue it's not the start of a new decade.
Blah, blah, blah.
And so we had invited people if they had voicemails with their own resolutions and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a call from Ryan at Daddy Digest.
And that's, of course, Ryan from the Daddy Digest podcast.
Yes.
Not just Daddy Digest.
Podcast and blog.
Hey, Choo-Choo Biv. It's Ryan from Daddy Digest. It is so good to hear you guys back in action. Talking about parenting, talking about holiday time, talking about zombies. So great to have you guys back on the pod wave. Just checked out episode 39. Loved it. Good to hear. Got some great New Year's resolution. You asked what some of our resolutions were. Mine, I joked around on Twitter saying that my resolution was going to be to fulfill my last year's New Year's resolution, to not make one this year. But I'm not real big on New Year's resolutions. I just try to set, you know, some personal goals for myself and just little things and not go overboard. This year, mine is to try to find out where I'm lacking as a parent with my children and what, you know, specific areas. What more can I do for this one? Where can I be more of a tool or a parent to my children in this specific area. If it's sit down and play smarts and crafts time with my daughters, and that's what I feel like I need to do. If it's maybe not to play Transformers with my boy and maybe work on his alphabet, that's what I need to do with him. So I'm trying to be more susceptible to my family needs this year. So once again, great show, guys. I totally love hearing you guys. Viv, hang in there with your health issues. It's not going to last for long. You know you can get it if you survive them having a teenager and having a tween and being a wife and a mother for this long. This other crap's not going to get in your way. So you guys hang in there, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Well, first of all, thank you. I hadn't thought of it that way, but, you know, I'm pretty invincible. Survived one teen, and we're heading down the road, and I'm... you know, managing another, and yeah, I can kick this thing's ass, can I?
Absolutely. Rocking it. Thanks for that. And that's a good resolution.
Yeah.
I honestly still haven't given all that much thought to it.
Yeah.
I've accidentally been implementing a resolution.
Yeah.
Since we were with the cardiologist and he wanted you to reduce caffeine.
Yes.
Ideally, he wants you to eliminate caffeine, but he was very generous and said, "No, I'm just talking about reducing."
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I had decided, you know, I really need to reduce mine as well.
Yeah.
So that I would quit caffeine with you.
Yeah.
And so.
And you have.
Well, I'm not out of the woods.
No, I mean, it's an addiction.
Yeah. So I went 4 days or so, basically reducing. I'm pretty much halved my caffeine intake.
Yeah.
And the way I did it, which probably isn't going to work for a lot of people.
Gross. I could tell you I couldn't do it.
We have these big giant tumblers. Not tumblers.
They're like the big plastic cups.
Plastic cups. And so I'll normally fill one of those up on my way to work.
Mm-hmm.
I will refill it during the day.
Yeah.
Then I'll fill it up when I head home. And if I go out to eat, I'll have several glasses of soda. Mm-hmm. So I keep 2-liter bottles in the office. I keep 2-liter bottles here. So I was drinking soda just constantly.
And it was, I mean, it was diet soda. It was Pepsi One, which is one calorie per serving, but it's got, as we found out, more caffeine than just about anything else out there.
Yeah, it's one of the highest caffeinated sodas.
Yeah.
Like on Mountain par Dew. With Mountain Dew.
Yeah. Eek. But it doesn't have sugar like Mountain Dew does.
Yeah. And so what I was doing is filling my glass, putting the ice in it, and I would fill it halfway with water, and then the rest of the way with soda.
So gross.
So it's like watered down soda.
Gross, which I always dump and get fresh soda.
It actually worked for me.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Well, it did.
So I did that for a few days. I didn't do any research whatsoever, and apparently I should have done that longer. Mm. And I maybe should have tried, although I don't think I would be able to get past more than half. Because, yeah, it starts to taste nasty when it gets too watered down.
Yeah.
But, so I went like 4 days, and then I said, okay, today's the day. And you know what? It was actually inspired. I was listening to one of Mer's I Should Be Writings.
Yeah.
And she was talking about resolutions and habits and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, so whatever day you're listening to this, we'll make tomorrow New Year's. Because she was basically saying how New Year's Day is the worst day to start anything.
Well, most people are hungover.
Right.
And they're indulging still from the holidays.
Yeah. And most people's resolutions are usually related to exercise and food.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the worst day to try to start anything.
Yeah.
So she said, let's make tomorrow New Year's. Whatever day you're listening to this, mm-hmm. make tomorrow your New Year's and start something.
Cool.
And so I decided, all right, let's go, Mer. Tomorrow I will not have soda at all.
And you have
no caffeine, no soda. And yeah, I haven't since. So I'm on, I don't know, day 4.
Yeah.
And I had some pretty gnarly headaches at first.
Yeah.
And surprisingly, yesterday I had a lot of pressure in my head and a minor headache that was kind of hanging out there, but I didn't take any pain medication for it, and I haven't had to take anything today. But so on Twitter, I mentioned, 42 hours without caffeine, I'm past the worst of it, right? Pretty much everybody was like, yeah, it's usually like 7 days, 14 days.
Which I was pissed about because I was telling him, no, baby, it's the first 24 hours that are worse. You're through the worst of it. Kind of trying to pep him up like, okay, you've gone the distance, the hard part's over. No, y'all just wrecked it. But he's still hanging tight. And it's funny because I haven't had any major symptoms. So today I started drinking caffeine again to try and amp up my symptoms so that I could have more data on the monitor. So you're actually more caffeine free than I am. Because I know the cardiologist told me to stop because it makes my symptoms worse.
Yeah.
Well, I want data. I want the doctors to say, well, she's dizzy, and then this is what her heart's doing.
Right.
So I'm actually kind of sabotaging feeling better in the hopes of feeling worse and giving the doctors more data.
Yeah.
So you're actually more caffeine-free than I am, and I'm the one under the doctor's order. Yeah.
And then the other weird thing, yesterday evening, all night long and all day today, my legs are freaking out, and I don't know if that's related to caffeine or if it's all just in my head. But I've got, like, just these twitchy legs that they kind of hurt.
I don't know.
It's weird. It's like sometimes I get the whole restless leg syndrome or whatever, which we call Jimmy legs from Kramer.
Yeah.
And I've seen those drug commercials for restless leg syndrome or whatever. I'll get that sometimes at night.
Yeah.
Pretty sometimes I just can't fall asleep, and it's that. That's the Jimmy legs. And it's been like that for a day and a half now. It's driving me crazy.
Well, I can tell you that I always was amazed by your ability to drink caffeine up until the time you turned out the lights and went to bed.
Oh, yeah.
And then 3 minutes later, you'd be asleep. I mean, even when I was at my worst with caffeine, I couldn't drink it after like 5 p.m. because I'd be up all night. But you, it's just like flipping a switch.
Yeah.
So your body had absolutely...
It had
You
no
were
effect.
One with caffeine.
Yeah.
But now that you've stopped... Have you noticed that you're just naturally going to bed earlier?
No.
Both the last two nights where you normally would have stayed up much later, you were in bed by midnight or so.
I was going to say I went to bed before you. That doesn't mean I went to bed early. Because it's been basically one in the morning the last two nights.
But still, I mean, normally when you don't have to get up and go to work the next day, we're up really late.
True.
You are the main reason for my screwed up sleep system at this point. I try to live to your system since I'm not working now. So
that's true.
But I am really proud of you. I'm really, really proud of you. And I'm looking forward to being caffeine free because I have felt better with the dietary changes he's made me do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm feeling the effects of the caffeine pretty. I feel a little jittery, which I haven't felt for the last couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
So I look forward to being caffeine free with you again because I was enjoying that.
For most of his life, Prince Astor has known he would one day face the fearsome dragon known as Mandrake. Now, the young prince has learned of a magic sword powerful enough to defeat the dragon. If Astor can find the lost empire, if he can brave the perilous journey through the mountains alone, if he can convince the ghost of the long-dead empress that he is worthy, then the only thing standing between him and the empress' sword might just be a skirt. The Empress Sword is a fantasy novel by Paulette Jackson, coming this winter to Podiobooks.com and is a full cast audio experience at EmpressSword.com. This is not your father's epic fantasy story, but it could be your mother's.
Hi, this is J.C. Hutchins, author of Seventh Son Descent, the new science fiction thriller novel available in bookstores right now, and you are listening to the podcast that is owned and operated by two of my most favorite people in the whole world, Chooch and Viv. It is Into the Blender!
And I'm eating more because I'm a freak, and the way my brain works, if I deny myself anything, I have to make up for it with food.
Hmm.
And I am denying myself soda, which I love the taste of.
Hmm.
And I'm denying myself caffeine, so my brain says I'm hungry all the time.
That's been a problem for me since I've been stuck at home, too.
Yeah.
I was on a very regimented schedule for work. Get up at 4:30, eat breakfast at 5, eat when I got to work at 8, because I have to eat like every 3-4 hours or my blood sugar crashes. You know, eat a snack at 11, eat lunch at 1, eat a snack at 4, and then come home and eat dinner. And now it's just like grazing all day long. So I'm trying to figure out how to maybe set the timer on the oven thing so I don't go into the kitchen until it goes off or something. Yeah. I don't know.
That was one of the reasons I got in trouble with the soda, is that it's kind of a mental deal I had made with myself that if I start dieting and eating less, that I can drink as much soda as I want.
Yeah, and we don't smoke.
And then that,
we gave up smoking, so we've given up vices after vice after vice.
Yeah, so that was one of the deals. All right, so you're going to eat better, and you can drink whatever you want. But then I started eating worse again, but I kept drinking whatever I wanted.
Yeah, that's true.
And even though, like you said, it's diet soda, it's still caffeine and chemicals, and Pepsi One being super-duper high caffeine, and I was drinking 3-4 liters a day. That's a lot of
that is a lot
stuff.
That's a lot. And that's pretty much exclusively what we were drinking, which means
I wasn't drinking any water.
Leaching calcium from our bones and all that kind of fun stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think for me, I mean, I love what Ryan said. I think that is probably the best kind of resolution stuff you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a gift to yourself, it's time with your kids, and it's a huge gift to your children. So I got to say big props to Ryan on that, because most people think about how to improve their situation, not their families.
Mm-hmm.
I figure the best thing that I can do for myself and for my family is to just keep trying to get healthy, to try and push the limits on this, to get a solution, and to get back on the path towards health, because I was on the path, I was doing really well, and I'm really anxious to get back to that. I want to start training again for the 5Ks. It's there, the season is starting up. Mm-hmm. I'm really hoping to run one to completion, and I had kind of hoped to do the Avon 3-day this year. Mm. I mean, at this rate, I just don't even know if a doctor will clear me to do anything like that.
Yeah.
I'm just hoping to get clearance to work with my trainer again.
Yeah. Which she's been very positive. You talked to her.
Yeah, I've talked to her a couple of times since I've been home. I know that she won't do anything with me until the doctor clears it, though. That's how, I mean, they're very focused on safety first.
Yeah.
So I just need to get all this sorted out first. And eating healthier and all that stuff. I've had to come off the phase one South Beach because I've been eating the exact same thing every day for the last, I don't know, almost 2.5 months now. And I'm losing my mind. And I found that I was cheating right and left. Mm. I was like going, it was like a psychological, I can't control anything going on right now. You know, screw it. Let's go get, you know, Mexican food and then make myself sick on tortilla chips or whatever. You know, it's just like the only thing I can control is what I put in my mouth. And I was looking at it in the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
I can control what I'm putting in my mouth, so I should be controlling it, you know, and doing the healthier thing. So I'm trying to get a handle on that. I'm trying some different food stuff, increasing whole grains and fiber and stuff like that, just to, that's a kind of a cancer fighting diet. And, you know, I figure I may as well do that in addition to trying to do the heart stuff, because it's still just pushing toxins out of your body. So that's all good. So I'm experimenting with some other things rather than just doing phase one of South Beach forever until I lose the weight.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess it's selfish because it's not like read more to my kids, but they're not here. So I'm kind of limited on what I can do for them, you know, as far as the day-to-day connection I try to make with them and that sort of thing. And that usually fails because they're boys and they're teenagers and they don't want to hang out with mom or chat with mom for very long. So I don't know, just working on health.
Cool.
And I do like the idea of finishing out my resolutions from previous years. I don't even think I made any, like we said last time, for last year. Still working on 2008s. You know, MA was out here and she got me fired up about knitting. I'm giving that a try. So I can feel like I'm being productive. And that was one of my goals for 2008, was to make like a blanket and finish it, like actually do the finishing on it. So it's an actual completed project. That was one of them. And the other one that I think I have left to do is paint, get into painting, which I can do. I'm at home. So I'm hoping to actually get those knocked out in the next month since I'm here. And sometimes I'm pretty limited physically on what I can get done. I can't like redecorate or move boxes around the basement or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I can sit on my ass in front of the TV and try to knit. That I can do. Whether I can produce anything is, who knows.
The final item we wanted to discuss a little bit, which is something you may have heard a lot, because a lot of people are talking about it.
Yeah,
but it's a testament of how important these people are to us.
If you follow us on Twitter, then you already know about this.
On January 5th, 2010, our dear friend Natalie Morris passed away without any warning. It was a great tragedy in both her youth and suddenness of her departure from our lives, and we'll miss her greatly. Much more importantly, her 5-year-old daughter, lovingly nicknamed Sonic Boom.
Sonic Boom.
Which, if you've ever spent any time with her, you know why. Is left with a gaping hole in her life where her mother once was. Her father, author, and podcaster T. Morris will provide a wonderful and loving home for her, and friends and family are there to support him every step of the way. A fund has been created, which in under a week reached over $15,000 in donations. This fund has already paid for the unexpected funeral expenses and emergency costs, and the remainder is planned for a trust fund for Sonic Boom's future. A website has been created at www.remembernatalie.org, with links to both the chip-in fund for donations to the Sonic Boom Fund, and also to www.theboomeffect.org. At this site, an auction is being organized with items donated from friends around the world.
On February 27th, 2010, the online auction will take place, and the funds will go towards the Sonic Boom Fund. There have been over 50 items pledged, including promo placement in this podcast and a copy of the season one of The Guild on DVD, which Felicia Day herself autographed at Dragon Con in 2009. There are many more amazing items than these, to be sure. There's some amazing things up there. So please take a moment to go over and look at those items. If you're unable to participate that day, they are setting up a proxy bid system. And there's actually also a Twitter account called The Boom Effect that you can follow for updates. And Philippa Ballantyne is actually organizing. She organized the chip-in, and she's organizing the auction. She is working tirelessly around the clock in, from her home in New Zealand to try and make this as big an event and as lucrative an event as possible for Sonic Boom's trust fund. Take a look. There's some really, there's already two things in there that I've gone, what? Really beautiful thing to see. I mean, it was just immediate. People started putting money in and it's added up so quickly, you know, a little bit here and a little bit there. It doesn't seem like much to throw your little bit of money into the pile.
Yeah.
But it's really added up. It's over $17,000 now.
Yeah. And the memorial service and the funeral were just
devastating.
There were so many people there to celebrate Nat. That was really great to see. And it's always sad when these things happen, but it's also uplifting to see people come together.
Nat was an amazing, amazing spirit, and she affected a lot of people. And they definitely came out to honor her, but it's kind of an understatement to say that we'll miss Nat.
Yeah. Somehow we end up ending another episode on a downer note.
I really put it at the end so that people would be able to go and click the links. It would be the last thing they thought of, so they could click on the links. I didn't mean to get all emotional, but if you're going to get emotional about something, it really should be the loss of a beautiful spirit is something that merits sadness.
Yeah. The time that we did have together was really great. A lot of great conversations and
lots of laughter.
Yeah.
Yep. And like we had told some friend of ours, the bitter, bitter sting was, you know, emails back and forth with her planning to get together the weekend that we ended up going to her viewing.
Well, it's not the way we like to end, but we really are over time. So we should probably wrap up here.
So I don't want to go out on a sad or negative note. Nat had a beautiful spirit and was full of life. I say that we just thank her for the friendship that we've had.
I didn't tell you that. The reception after the memorial service when we were eating and I was coloring with her.
Yeah.
So she's like, let's color. And I say, okay. And she dumps the crayons out and she gives me a fresh piece of paper. And I started drawing a butterfly because she had a little butterfly emblem on her shirt. And I look over and she's got these big lines and she's doing this. It's like, what are you drawing? These are battleships. And this one has the family, and that one has the bad guys, and the family are beating up the bad guys. And I had a pretty butterfly with rainbow wings.
Sonic Boom! That girl has such a spark of life in her, I swear. Yep. She's a cutie. Yeah, so that's Sonic Boom. Well, thank everybody for listening. If you can, go check out the RememberNatalie.org site, which again will link to the chip-in fund, and it'll also link to theboomeffect.org, or you can go directly to theboomeffect.org and see. There's already there's
stuff you want to bid on, because there's some amazing lots.
And she doesn't have everything up yet. She's got a lot of work on her own and stuff to balance. She has a job. Yeah. Go figure.
But yeah, there's artwork, there's craft stuff, there's services, there's food, there's everything.
So check it out. Maybe you'll see something you like, or maybe you'll be willing to donate something yourself to go towards this cause. So
thanks for listening, and we will catch you next time.
Take care, everybody. Be excellent to each other.
Thanks for listening to Into the Blender.
You can find information, comment on episodes, and subscribe to the podcast at intotheblender.com.
You can send us email to feedback@intotheblender.com.
This podcast is released under a Creative Commons, non-commercial, no derivatives 3.0 license.
You are free to make copies and share this podcast to your heart's content.
Just not modify or make money from it. Preach on.
Sally.